tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yes, oh, yeah. Something so wonderfully creepy about the opening song to this show. Welcome in, everybody, to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Homeland, Season 5, Episode 1, the premiere episode called Separation Anxiety. Mm-hmm. We've got a brand new, fresh panel here for you guys this season. Going to be taking you all along the way. I'm Frank Majorana. You can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. I'm joined by Julian Dujeric. Julian, where can they find you on social media?
Everywhere on social media, at Julian Dujeric.
And Stephanie Garrett.
Hey, I am Stephanie G. You can find me Stephanie G 3360 on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram.
Perfect.
All big covered there. I have too much stuff going on.
Cool. Well, we're excited to have you guys here. We're excited to talk about this episode.
Yes.
Quite a departure from where we ended last season. Mm-hmm. We're 2 years past the events of the season 4 finale, mm-hmm. and we find Carrie in, surprisingly, a pretty good place.
Yeah.
She's got a nice boyfriend, her kid's in school, and she tends to be pretty happy. So I just want to get your guys' general thoughts on the episode, and then we'll break down where we were scene by scene. So Julian, lead us off.
It's appropriately titled Separation Anxiety, because that's all I've been experiencing for almost the last year. It's a strong first episode. I like the way they set everything up. You come to expect that from Homeland. I feel like, you know, there are so many narratives that can be explored and that's will true. Be, as we saw in the preview for this upcoming season. So, yeah, it was strong for me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
Stephanie. So did I, and I liked that she seemed stable.
Yeah.
You know, for once in her... You know, her life tends to be a little crazy, but I like the stability she has, especially in the beginning. That was nice.
I think the crazy train is coming, though.
Yeah,
eventually.
Oh, yeah. It's coming full speed ahead.
It wouldn't be Homeland without it.
It wouldn't be, of course. But we open in a church. Mm-hmm. Carrie's praying and seems to be, like you were saying, very stable. Mm-hmm. She has her life figured out and has a job with a private firm, the Turing Foundation. She works for Otto Turing. And she's separated from the CIA. Mm-hmm. At the end of the last season, we had Carrie driving away from a meeting with Dardal and Saul at Dardal's house, and we learned that Carrie found out about the special arrangement between Dardal and the terrorist. I'm forgetting his name right now. But anyway, she was not pleased about Assam Haqqani.
That's it. Right.
I'm remembering now. So she is... clearly has submarine Saul's bid to be in the CIA, and now she's working for a private foundation, which I found a little bit interesting. Outside of the character for Carrie, it seems like she kind of loved the fight, and eventually she's brought back into it. So what struck you about her that you found different that we haven't seen from her in the past seasons?
What I thought was of significance was how at peace she was with her new life. Like, would expect her to, because she's Carrie and the way she's, in my opinion, the way she's wired, to have anxiety about not having anxiety.
Right.
Like, I feel like she wants, you know, she's, and I guess we're going to see that in the season, but it was interesting to me to see how accepting she was of this new life.
Yeah. And to get to your point, I think she has always been someone who seems to be afraid of the unseen monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody that we haven't noticed of, or a threat that we haven't thought about.
Mm.
She can go off the deep end and find things that don't make any sense, but every once in a while, she seems to be right.
Yeah.
So I agree with you in what you're saying in that Carrie seems to be calm. on her meds.
Yeah.
Taking care of things. So, right. Stephanie, what'd you see in her?
Well, I like the fact that she was in the church, and I think that that is sort of helping keeping her grounded for the moment in her nice, stable life. You know what I mean? She's praying, and she's, you know, doing her thing. So, I like that about her, you know? And, you know, of course, like you say, the crazy train is coming.
It is coming, indeed. It's coming, indeed. And it starts sort of 15 minutes into the episode.
Yeah.
We get a brief respite where we see Carrie in her new life, and then the action gets started right away, which I loved. I thought, you know, this show really, for me as a general impression, is moving away from the melodramatic moments and becoming much more of a spy show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not one that is so winding and, you know, conspiracy driven that we can't figure it out. I mean, there's a lot of procedurals where there's five different turns every episode and it wraps up really neatly at the end of each one. I mean, I like how this show has set us up for an intriguing season. And it starts with the terrorist video it's posted by the hackers.
Yeah.
And, you know, tell me what you thought about that scene and, you know, the funny results that came from it.
I just wish I could speak Arabic so I can know what they're really saying.
Yeah.
Because, like, the captions were just really funny. Mm-hmm. In terms of the hacking, I think it was interesting, especially given sort of the current climate outside of TV and in real world.
Mm-hmm.
with regards to cybersecurity, I thought that was, as usual, as Homeland does, really wise of them to start with something so current.
Oh, yeah. Like you say, very current. Mm-hmm. And people are doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that they put up the little bubbles and making fun of the terrorists, I thought that was very interesting. But it turns out, it pissed a lot of people off.
It did.
Yeah.
I like that visually we are played with at the beginning. Because as that character was walking through the club, I immediately thought, bad guy. Just as soon as you walked in.
Yeah. I wrote bad guy in the strip club.
Yeah.
Right. You know, what's he doing?
Right.
We sort of judge him based on his appearance, which can be somewhat shallow of us, but I like how the show flipped it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we're in the back room of a sex club.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're posting a video to a terrorist recruitment website that has homosexual, you know, captions.
Yeah.
Which obviously was supposed to cause a firestorm amongst the terrorists, but then we find out, hey, the CIA is monitoring this as well.
Mm. Yeah.
So, it reminded me, like you were saying before, Stephanie, that some of these sequences are ripped right out of the headlines.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So you've had the Edward Snowden, you know, incidents, and this is playing throughout this whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, so what do you think, how do you think that plays into, you know, current headlines? How do they take that and twist it to make this show more and more relevant?
I think there's a certain degree of artistic license you have to take when you're running a show, a television show.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem any more or any less different or any different. Doesn't seem different from what I've been reading on, you know, news sites about foreign affairs. It's how do they do it? I mean, that would be a question for the writers, who any one of you are invited onto our panel if you're watching, so we can ask you that question. You can tell us in person, I'd definitely be interested in knowing what the creative process is like and how they take these very clear real world themes and events and apply them to sort of this medium of storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my guess is they probably have the consultants there that are, you know, giving them the details of what's, you know, could happen.
Yeah.
It's plausible. I always like to say plausible.
Because
sometimes you read the headlines and that's pretty much what's going to go. Yeah. That's going on. It's sort of, you know, a little shred of it is going on.
That's true.
Yeah.
And they exactly like you were saying, there's an artistic license to this, but at the same time, there's a lot of reality in what they're discussing. They're talking about ISIS. They're talking about the refugee crisis in Germany, which is huge right now. And they were anticipating that in a way, I'm sure, this shot a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I actually read something recently. They said that the refugees were coming into Germany and that there are possible ISIS members coming in, you know, in under guise.
Right.
And here we go on Homeland, you know. know?
Well, even that train sequence in this episode of Homeland reminded me of the story in France when you had three American students who were on the train stop a terrorist attack.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was recent.
Yeah, it was recent.
And I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, it reminded me of that episode that we have a guy who kind of looks like a terrorist based on our just judgment of the way that he looks walking off a train. So initially he gets off at Berlin Station.
Right.
I was saying, I wonder if something's going to happen right here.
Hey,
yeah, there's just such foreshadowing in this. Since they shot this, I'm sure a while before any of this was in the headlines.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Do they have a crystal ball?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, yeah, how do they get their information?
Yeah, that does beg the question. Like, how can they? Are they just paying more attention than we are, or?
Yeah.
You know, how is it that they get this intel, or is it just a coincidence? Is that something that they anticipate and then it just happens to be the case in real life? That, I'd be interested in talking to someone.
Yeah, and to further your point, they made the decision last year not to go back to the Middle East, to move out from a Middle East focus for the show. Mm-hmm. And Islamic terrorism, of course, plays a huge role in this show, but it's set in Berlin this year, which I really liked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tired city, but it's sharp in its lines and seems to have an air about it that would support this type of storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked it a lot. What do you think of Berlin playing a starring role?
I would have loved to see them in a more tropical location.
That's
just my gripe. Wishful thinking. Maybe I'm projecting. I've always loved this. I've always loved that they take a different geographical location every season, or they try to. You know, Germany is interesting to me because I'll talk about my ignorance. I don't know really much about Germany, and so it'd be interesting to, in the coming weeks, to do some more research to kind of add to this panel in some way. But yeah, I like that they do that. I think staying in one area of the world for too long, it's boring, and you need to kind of switch it up. And people we're in season 5 now, and so the support of the fan support here is such that you need to change it up to keep the fans interested, but not so drastic in a way that it's so far removed from what we love about Homeland.
Right.
So I like that they did it this way and they changed the location, but the themes and sort of the struggles between characters remain the same.
And there's a very nice aesthetic to Berlin,
and
adding a old world feel to our very modern battle against terrorism.
Yeah.
I liked specifically that Saul and Quinn can meet in these sort of dark underbelly places of Berlin. Saul is my favorite character in the entire series.
I love Saul.
So let's talk about that scene where we first see him when Saul and Carrie reunite.
Oh, man.
I thought he was just going to smack her. I did. I really thought he was just going to go whack. And then he was like, ooh, he's coming for her.
You see, I thought I was expecting that kind of reaction, just a stoic sort of unemotional. I don't know if it was unemotional. That's probably not the right word, but stoic is probably a better word.
Just he bottles it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. He can compartmentalize emotions like better than anyone on that show. And it was so great to see him do that in that moment when you just know the emotions are just festering.
Oh yeah.
And I think that freaked Carrie out because she's expecting, she's a woman of chaos. Like she's born from, I feel like she's born from chaos or what, you know, like that's just in her blood. And so it was just so great to see her reaction to his sort of calm disposition.
And she sort of immediately apologized.
Yeah.
Look, I'm so sorry about what went down,
you
know? And he's just like, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He looked at her, and you can always... I like that he's such a great actor, you can just tell what he's feeling. It emotes.
I was just going to say the same thing. That's a great point. Keep going. I'm not going to
cut
you off.
No. Go ahead. I'm just saying, I just love the way he emotes, and you know exactly where he's going.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, the biggest thing that I like about him, just to further your point, is that we can see him thinking.
Yes.
When he says nothing... We know exactly what he wants to say.
Which is such a credit to him as an actor, because that's really hard to do.
Very hard.
That's really hard to do, to have all of your emotions be here.
Mm-hmm.
right in your face and be able to tell a complete story without saying a single word.
That's what I was going to say.
That's so powerful.
Very powerful.
So powerful.
Yeah. And in that moment with Carrie and him, Carrie was going to walk away, decided against it, and came back, and we have this incredible moment between the two. And obviously they're not on good terms. Saul believes that Carrie has tanked his bid to be CIA director. So obviously that's something that took place in the interim between the last season and now this one. But he says it's not even about that anymore.
Right.
You're working for somebody who is someone who's trying to disrupt efforts to bring down terrorists. Otto Dering. So this is the beginning of our introduction to Otto Dering. What do you guys think of him, and what do you think, what role is he going to play moving forward here?
I don't know. My personal thing is I think he knows exactly what he's getting into going to Lebanon. I think he knows, and this is something that Carrie doesn't know yet. And she's going to find out, and it's going to be something there. But I kind of think he knows exactly what he's doing. He's not, he says he's going to write a check.
Yeah.
And he has to be there. But I think it's so much more than that.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's politics. There are always politics at play, you know, when it comes to the situations with so much on the line.
Right.
And so, yeah, I agree with you. There's no way he's just that humanitarian. Like,
no.
He's just, yeah, I need to be there so that I can convince them in person to give me their money or give the camp the money.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some sort of underlying agenda here. I don't know. He didn't convince me of it.
Yeah, me either. I was just like, I don't think so.
Okay, that's interesting. We're going to have to watch that as we go through. But what struck me about that scene between Carrie and Otto is that she's... I've started new jobs before, and when you're starting a new job, you really don't mouth off to the boss.
You're not that assertive, right?
Exactly.
I said the same thing. Like, Carrie is just, she's so badass in that. But it's like, it's going to bite her in the butt.
Yeah.
Because you don't do that. You know, I don't know. She's not a very, we know this from Carrie.
Right.
She doesn't play, but she, what's the saying? She steps on toes and goes over heads. You know, she does not care.
Yeah, she has no tact.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Well, it came off to me as a little bit of insubordination. So you're telling your boss that he can't do it, and he just looks at her and he's like, I'm going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to.
You know, a normal person in that situation would be like, well, I don't think that's a great idea, but I'm going to do everything that I can to try and figure this out for you. You know, play up to your boss a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
There's none of that with Carrie.
No. Not at all.
So it's interesting. I really don't know what to think about Otto just yet. We learn from Saul. Saul told Carrie that Otto Dering's family made a ton of money during World War II based upon running people basically on slave labor and making a ton of money from it. So clearly Saul has a problem with Mr. Dering and Carrie's employment with him.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something to watch for as we move through the season. But then we see Carrie's skill. She goes to the CIA office in Berlin, meets with the station chief there, and then goes to a sheikh, and then ultimately meets with the Hezbollah commander.
Right.
I mean, she has that skill, and we see, I wonder if the boss just gave her a really tough task to see if she could get it done.
Could be. But you know, I think Carrie is very good at following her gut.
Yeah.
She may be a little, you know, spacey at times, you know, and she's very anxious, but she's very good at following her gut, and she knows she smells a rat, and she points it out.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Absolutely. I mean, we trust her as an audience through all the craziness, through all the episodes that we've seen her just act out of line. I thought personally last season at the beginning when she hooked up with Ayan, her target at the time, that for me was a low point. Carrie, what are you doing? This is just, it's so bad. But it rebounded and reestablished this show without Brody.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have Brody after that season before. So the show had to find its new footing, and I think we have now.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see when we go to the general element. What was it, guys? I know you wrote this down.
I wrote it down four times, and I still don't remember.
General Aladia
camp.
Aladia camp.
Oh, that's it.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So we have a trip coming up in store.
But, yeah, she's going to Lebanon.
But the other thing is that the station chief brought up is that Dering may give up their transit sites in Poland. So clearly the CIA has an interest in Poland and that Dering could give up. So... friend or foe? Let's do a little early prediction here. You know, friend or foe? Is Dering a friend of the CIA, or is he going to be somebody who's difficult ultimately?
I say foe.
Okay.
That's my personal take on it. What do you think?
This is more wishful thinking than it is a prediction. I say friend only because I think I would like to see a third kind of element at play here that neither one of them can predict or have anticipated. Mm-hmm. The CIA and we just talked about it. We just said the name of where Carrie's working now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Turing Foundation.
Yeah. The Turing Foundation. Sorry, I had a brain fart there. Yeah. It'd be nice to see sort of a third element there. Mm-hmm. My immediate reaction was faux, but I would like there to be I would like them to be friends.
You're hopeful.
I'm hopeful. I mean, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm hoping there can be, because that could provide some conflict between the two agencies. You know, they're working. If this were to happen, I don't know, but they would be working together against a common enemy. But they still have sort of this infighting.
That's right.
Between the two of them. So I think that would just add some more interesting narratives.
I was going to say, yeah. I would like to see a little bit more of his backstory. You know, yeah. How did he make his money, and what sorts of connections does he have?
Yeah.
Because that'll sort of unfold as to what his plans mm-hmm. really are. You
Absolutely.
Know? Who is he really connected to? You know, is he, you know, like you said, why is he really going to Lebanon?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. And viewers, we want you guys to weigh in on this. So
please
use the hashtag, hashtag ABTV Homeland. Shoot us in your predictions on Twitter. We will read off your tweets when we debut the show next week. So we want to encourage you guys to reach out to us through that way. Yeah. So speaking of enemies, mm-hmm. We are introduced to journalist Laura Sutton.
Yeah.
Who one of the hackers reaches out to. Mm-hmm. And if you guys saw the documentary, the Edward Snowden documentary a while back, this is one of the ways that he reached out to a journalist, is by encrypted email. Mm-hmm. So it reminded me of that. Again, Homeland is taking real-life events and incorporating them into their show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Laura finds out about the secret spying program that the U.S. and Germany currently have spying on German citizens, because German law doesn't allow spying on citizens. So apparently they have an agreement.
Proxy spying.
Right. Proxy spying, right. So apparently they have an agreement between the two countries to spy on German citizens. Mm. And when the hack goes through, that's all exposed.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you guys think of that?
I think, without getting too political, I think there's always a justification for that on behalf of governments. That's all I'll say.
Sure, that's okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's a touchy subject.
Yeah, it's very touchy.
Yeah, well, you know, you listen to alternative media.
Yeah.
Of course they tell you.
I try to vary up my news sources.
Yeah, you got to have a variation in there. But yeah, according to,
Well, you're taking the side of Saul. Let's say that. Let's say you believe that, you know, Saul is right in the context of the show. It doesn't have to be in real life. You can just be talking about the show and hunting the people that they want
to go for. That's what I was talking about. I don't want to be biased against, you know, I don't want to any of the fans that are watching that might have a different opinion about this character.
Well, we want to hear your opinions too. So, Stephanie, what do you think?
Well, I think Laura, I don't know, she's going to release those documents.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I'm posting them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she's on it.
She's a bit of a hothead, though.
She is. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
What's the hurry? What's the rush?
Exactly.
Yeah, she seemed a bit rushed to do it. Like, I want to get it out there. These people need to be, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, cool, help. Wait, you know, wait a second. Let's, you know, talk about it.
I like your impression of her.
Right?
It's so very good. We'll go to you.
Which is the temperament of many journalists. Just get it out there and post it. Run with it. She seemed a little, because of, she seemed to completely disregard or not even consider any sort of collateral damage that can come as a result of her publishing this.
Yeah.
So, which I don't think Snowden, I mean, that's not what, he was very measured in his approach, right? At least to my knowledge.
He apparently had an agenda.
Well, yeah.
So what's her agenda?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I thought it was a little too rushed. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Snowden's not a journalist. So remember, I'm agreeing with you in that. Mm-hmm. When his information was ultimately released, he was in Hong Kong.
Right.
So he took measures beforehand to get out of Dodge, to make sure that once this hit the news, that he wasn't going to be hunted and found and captured and tried and thrown into prison.
I guess it just doesn't seem that smart to me. If I were in that position, I would do everything in my power to make sure I pad myself against whatever is coming, because it's going to come.
Right.
Whatever would be coming my way.
Right.
And it just doesn't seem as though she's taking those measures, and I don't know why.
Right.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she's not considering who's going to come after her
yeah.
after this goes out. And mm-hmm. she's just so bullheaded that she wants to get out there and get her story out and perhaps collect a few accolades for herself along the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Make a name for herself.
Yeah. Make a name for herself with information that nobody's got yet. And it's it also reminded me of Jason Bourne. Mm-hmm. The Bourne stories, you know, when Bourne meets with the newspaper guy for The Guardian mm-hmm. In the crowded station, in the train station.
Right.
And the journalist is ultimately capped in the head.
Right, right.
That's true.
So it's all these great stories that keep coming back in and feeding into this show.
Right.
She's suffering from Julian Assange syndrome.
Okay. She could be.
Yeah. In terms of if we're going down that route, in terms of having a self-interest in getting accolades for herself, I mean, I feel like Julian Assange, in some ways, you know, going on national television and talking about this so openly and being kind of haphazard with his own security, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. in yes. terms of, you know, what would happen when people who are watching these programs that you're on
yeah.
Process the information. So. Yeah, I didn't like that about her. It didn't seem realistic. Like, I don't think that a journalist would actually be that dismissive of the consequences.
Well, she's clearly fired up about
personal
the
consequences.
Issue.
I mean, like yeah. that would affect them directly because that's a human thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Self-preservation.
Yeah,
I think she's blinded by her ambition.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I'm agreeing with you mm-hmm. in that. I think there's going to be some comeuppance for her after
yeah.
she posted it, and we didn't see any aftermath.
Yeah,
right.
They cleverly kept that for the next episode
right.
for us.
Yeah, I think yeah. the CIA is not going to be real happy with her.
Oh no,
no, not at all.
No, no, no,
not at all. I mean, you could see in the meeting with Saul and Allison, with the German officials on the other side. Mm-hmm. That's just a meeting you never
yeah,
want.
You don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the they were not happy.
No,
that they Saul. You
Saul,
know, like they,
what does that mean?
Well, they, you know, for me, what I got from that meeting was everything that wasn't said or wasn't emoted didn't need to be said or emoted because that you could just see it in their faces. Like the moment Saul explained to them the situation, they were not happy at all. And it was, yeah, you're right. That's not a meeting I would ever want to be
no.
in.
No.
I'm yeah. not even a fly on the wall, frankly, in that kind of situation. So
right.
yeah it it's yeah. it was tense for me to watch.
It was yeah, yeah. just to be a viewer
yeah.
and that's how you know you're into it
yeah.
you know
yeah.
when you're in the scene
when
and
you're uncomfortable
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, well,
the drone music helps though.
It does. It does. But it's fraying relations between the two groups
yeah.
and before they leave, we've met this character before. I can't remember exactly what her name is, the female German official, but she says, don't leave any tracks
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
what you have coming ahead. But, you know, do what you're going to do, but we're not going to help you anymore.
Yeah.
So they're completely out, which leads to the one of the final scenes between mm-hmm. Quinn and Saul.
Yeah.
yeah.
Where now basically Saul is going to be running Quinn. He's going to be dropping off envelopes with people's names in it
uh-huh.
with some money. And on the back, where that person is found.
Yeah.
Right.
And the first person that we find is a woman who is a recruiter. She's recruiting kids,
yeah.
Which struck me very, very rough. I really wanted to see Quinn get the girl right away.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
If Saul is to be believed that she's recruiting kids for terrorism, I hope he gets her next episode.
Yeah.
If Saul is to be believed, that's interesting that you say that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sometimes he'll surprise us.
Yeah.
With his motives. I mean, he's always very smart. He always seems to know what he's doing. But he made a deal with Dardal last season to hide the video of him being caught
that's
as
right.
a terrorist
that's
to right. preserve himself instead of doing the thing. I remember last season. When he was on the cell phone with Carrie saying, look, if they capture me, you shoot the missile and you kill me.
Yeah.
Because
right.
I don't want to come back and I don't want to be responsible for more people dying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened because Carrie couldn't bring herself to do it.
Right.
She said, nope, you're going to live. And they traded, I can't remember, 3 or 5 people
right.
to
right.
get Saul back.
Yeah.
And it destroyed him. But then by the end of the season, he changed his mind.
Right.
So I love Saul and I love Mandy Patinkin and the way mm-hmm. that he plays the role. And you're right. It's that quiet strength. And
right.
in an unskilled actor's hands, his scenes could blow up and be angry and
yeah.
shouty. Mm-hmm. And they're not.
No.
He is so calm in his furious emotion. He has a hot mm-hmm. emotion underneath him
yeah.
that just explodes out of the top.
Oh yeah.
But never in a shouty or raise your voice kind of way.
No,
he's just too smart for that.
Yeah, he's very he's too smart for that, and I think it shows how much respect the actor has for Saul the character in terms of knowing that this is a man who has been in working for the government for years and has developed a measured approach to crises.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's great to see. It's great to see wonderful acting demonstrated through writing.
I was saying Dardal is never to be trusted.
Yeah, I just wrote down Dardal like question mark. Because that's right. You know, he does not strike me as someone to be trusted ever. He's always in the middle of everything.
He's like the king. Yeah. He's like what they call the ringmaster.
Yes. Yeah. He's pulling the strings, and it's amazing to me that they still trust this man.
Yeah,
and he's at the head of the table.
Yeah,
in the CIA meeting with Quinn, and I do want to get to Quinn in a second, but yeah, you're right. How can we trust this guy? He was sitting in the car with Haysom Akhani, right when Carrie had a chance and Quinn had a chance to blow him up.
Mm-hmm. What does he have on them? What does he have? There's got to be something because I wouldn't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Oh no,
and I'm very weak, so that wouldn't go very far. But you know what I mean? Like I don't think he's to be trusted at all, and so it tickles my brain to know that he's just there and he's in the middle of it because he's allowed to be.
Well, he's also a very persuasive arguer. When Saul and Dar were at the end of last season, were having their scene in the diner.
Right.
You know, Dar says, "Look, in our business, we don't have the advantage of moral clarity in every decision that we make," and he kind of has a point.
Right.
He has a point, but that's used to justify so many atrocities.
Yeah.
And so, like when you use that same point, how much value does it have?
Yeah.
Like, does it have any value anymore? And so, I'm just thinking that these characters, you know, Carrie and Saul should be too smart to fall for that.
Oh yeah, I think Carrie definitely is.
But then again, like, what do you do? I mean, exactly. he's the head guy.
He's the main guy.
No, so
he's taking him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you want to talk about Quinn? Yep. I think Quinn does not like Dardal.
Oh no!
I don't think he. I think he was looking at him like at the table, like, okay, so what are you going to do? What's your plan? And they were like, we don't really have a plan. And he's like, well, you need a plan if you're going to go out and get these people. So
I loved his speech where he's like, they've been doing this for centuries.
You
read one book, they read it every day, and they don't stop reading it, and they're there to kill infidels and make sure that no more infidels exist on this earth. What do you got?
Right. Yeah. And they were like,
nothing,
twiddling their thumbs because they really didn't have a plan. Yeah. I mean, they probably had, you know, some things that they'd written down, but they didn't really have a full plan to go in there.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's easy to sit back and ask a bunch of questions who's been in Syria and other in the Middle East for 2 years. How about you have something real?
Yeah.
And I sympathize with Quinn there.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when Quinn comes into the room, I think you could see the war weariness on him.
Yeah.
You know, he's been gone for 2 years. Mm-hmm. He's been out there battling, doing special ops. And at the end of last season, him and Carrie had a moment, but then they misconnected when Quinn thought that she wasn't interested, and he went off to do this battle. Obviously, they went their separate ways.
Yeah.
But Quinn remains my second favorite character.
Me too. I like Quinn too. I like that he's very dangerous.
He's dangerous?
And as a girl, I think he's really cute.
Okay. Fair enough.
I just want to say Chickenberg.
Chickenberg. That's the name of the restaurant.
The name of the restaurant.
In the background as he's walking away.
I just thought that was funny. Chickenberg.
Chickenberg. What do they sell at Chickenberg?
Hot dogs. I do love Quinn. What do we think of, just because we're talking about favorite characters, what do we actually think of Carrie? Because she, to me, is actually my least favorite character. Like, as a person, I don't like her as a character. I sympathize with her, but I feel like she just makes the same mistakes over and over again. Yeah. And I know that she has, you know, to your point, most of the time she's right, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's just a tonality thing, or it's the way in which she approaches, or it's not even an approach. It's really just a bombardment of her agenda. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah,
but I can't get on. I still can't get on board, and it's 5 seasons in.
Okay, I was going to say maybe because she's a mom now, she may be changing just a little bit.
That's
once
a great
you have
point.
A child,
yeah,
it kind of it does change you. You're never the same. Ask me how I know that. Right, moms, chime in. You Homeland watchers, moms, chime in. You know what I'm talking about.
I think that might be it. And I'm gaining. She's growing on me. Yeah. She grew on me last season, and she's starting to grow on me now. So that could be it.
Yeah.
I can't get on board the Carrie train yet.
And just the fact that she has to go to Lebanon and leave her child.
I wanted to just die.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine. You know, she's going into a war zone and she's left to leave her baby behind.
Right.
You know, that's tough.
And it's a brilliant scene where Carrie just looks at her daughter after knowing that she's going to go. Like, oh man, that was heart-wrenching
for
me.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Tough.
That was brutal. Yeah. And I think, like you said, Stephanie, because she has a child now, I'm starting to warm up to her as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Number one for me is Saul. He's my favorite character in the entire series. Two is Quinn, and number three would be Carrie.
Yeah.
Because, well, I love Quinn, kind of like, for different reasons. I don't think he's cute, but I think
he's cute and dangerous. That's what girls like, right?
I think he's a badass. Yeah. I think he does what he wants, but I love that he just smacked a bomb maker across the back of his head.
And then they remade the bomb for him, just set it there and said, see ya.
That was so cool.
You're going to get what you wanted.
Right.
He's becoming, for me, like I talked about Jason Bourne earlier, he's becoming a Jason Bourne figure within this
just
show.
Just cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cold, calculating, you know, just sitting in the room with a guy he's about to kill, all tied up. Like, here you go.
Yeah.
That's a crappy timer anyway, so you might not have a full 2 minutes.
Wow. Which is such a beautiful playground for Quinn, because that's what he does best.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that they're giving him more of a leash with that, like, because I feel like in past seasons, and, you know, it's a credit to the actor who plays that role, he's done it well, but I feel like in past seasons, he's been very emotional in terms of his relationship with Carrie and just his relationship with his job.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. It's great to see him do what he does well, like do his job well. Because I feel like that's when Quinn is at his best.
And I think the show has reduced the melodramatic elements to it and has stopped sort of playing the romantic relationship angle between our main characters.
Which I love.
Yeah, I like that a lot,
I'm
too.
I'm a fan of that decision.
The main characters have other people. So Carrie has her journalist boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You know, Saul probably has his wife. We didn't see her in this episode.
Right.
But I totally agree with you in that we can focus on the plot, the story, and what their desires are in their jobs, which is very exciting, you know, from a spy. It's very spy-y point of view.
Yeah.
But let's move into predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz.
Above the light.
We have lights.
I know.
This is amazing.
Yes.
I feel like I'm in a rave.
Okay, so we saw at the end of the episode scenes from next week and the rest of the season. The crazy train's about to be turned up. Go ahead, Julian. Lead us off with your predictions.
There's so many places we can go.
Right.
I would like to make a prediction. Okay, I'm going to make a prediction that might upset a lot of everyone on this panel because we love Quinn so much. I think Quinn might get into something too deep for him to get out of.
Well, does that mean you think he's going to die?
I don't know if he's going to die.
Okay.
I hope he doesn't die because I like Quinn. Mm-hmm. But I think he may get kidnapped or tortured or something. Something's going to happen where Saul doesn't hear from Quinn for a little while.
Yeah.
And then they might assume... I don't know. I feel like something's going to happen there with Quinn. I hope he doesn't die because then we can see him come back. And then, you know, there could be more to reveal in terms of what he experienced. But yeah, I feel like Quinn is... going to be in deep doo-doo soon.
Ooh, I was going to say, I think Carrie is, once she gets over to Lebanon, it's all going to come back.
Yeah.
Like you say, you know, I think she's going to get back in the game. You know how they say you step out and they pull you back in.
That's a Godfather quote.
Yeah.
Every time I think
she's
I'm off, they
pull me back in. She's going to get in full force. And we're going to see the Carrie that we know and love.
The crazy Carrie.
You know, something's going to happen with her meds.
Yeah.
Something weird is going to happen with the meds, you know. So. But then she's going to have that gut instinct that's going to lead her to the right direction, I think.
Those are good predictions. I think those will come to pass. I will say that I think, I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think Carrie's current boyfriend who's also a journalist on the team with Laura Sutton. I think he is going to die this season.
Die?
No.
I think he's going to die. Because I think, like you guys are saying, we're going to get on the Carrie crazy train, and things are going to go bad for her.
Yeah.
And her last semblance of her, you know, her steady life is going to be her boyfriend.
Yeah,
and I think
that
the writers are just going to rip that out and take it away from us.
She's going to get kidnapped again.
Yeah.
I hope not.
We'll see that.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
we want you guys to come in with your predictions, too.
Yeah,
please use the hashtag ABTV on Twitter and Instagram. We'll look that up, and we'd be happy to read your feedback on the air. Guys, tell them one more time where they can find you on social media, and we want to thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening. You can find me at Julian Dujarric on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere on social media.
I'm at Stephanie G on Twitter, Instagram, and Stephanie Garrett 3360 on YouTube.
And I am Frank Majorana. You can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. Be sure to like us on YouTube, to listen to us through the podcast app on Apple, and rate us highly.
Yes,
give us a thumbs up and leave us a comment. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week, same time. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.